Hello, venturers. Welcome to our third recap episode. In this episode, we give you a quick summary of what happened in each and every episode of the third arc of Venture Maidens, aka Kara's arc, aka Arc 3, Bonds of Blood. If you do not want spoilers for the events of episodes 49 to 67, turn back now. But if you want a quick summary of what happened, or you want to dive into new episodes without listening to the whole backlog, you're in the perfect spot. We hope this quick and dirty summary serves you well. So let's get to it. Episode 49, Heart-Shaped Box. The episode starts with our maidens recapping what they've done in their precious and well-savored time between major assignments. Kara has taken up brewing ales and learning to read. Saye is up to her usual do-gooding of volunteering and training, and Arnadel has sewn up a new wardrobe to occupy her mind, which as of late has been fraught with anxiety over Aaron's unknown whereabouts. The three of them are enjoying a highly anticipated reunion scene in Arnadel's room when suddenly, Alistair Fitzpatrick coughs up a scroll from Aaron to Arnadel. The scroll reads for Arnadel to meet Aaron in the usual place in 1 hour, and without thinking, Arnadel immediately dashes to the fairy cave where her and Aaron shared their first kiss. When he appears, Aaron tells her that he has successfully completed the task she has given him, to slay an ancient blue dragon and deliver its heart. Putting the pieces together, she figures out that the Raven Queen must have sent him on this mission during her 24-hour stay in Arnadel's body. Aaron also gives her a letter from the Raven Queen that lays out an alchemical recipe to paralyze a god. They return to the keep to alert everyone that Aaron is safe, but a bitter fight has broken out between the Sisters of Sorrow leaders.
Episode 50, Witching Hour. Concerned about the deadly dispute unfolding in the conference room, the four of them book it. They break up Kristoff and Rem and ask to know what the hell is happening. Annoyed, Rem relays that Kristoff has created a petition to Sarina Sariel II for aid to help with the refugees who have made their new home around the Elysium Keep. Rem feels it is a betrayal to what the Sisters of Sorrow stand for, while Kristoff sees it as the only viable option to truly help these people. To make matters worse, Isolde has lied to her cousin, the Sarina, saying that she and Kristoff are betrothed. Ooh, that's a double burn. Rem storms out and promptly packs her bags. Kristoff enlists the maidens with the task of attending the meeting of the Great Council in order to gain the favor of at least 4 out of the 7 dukes and duchesses who make up the Great Council in order to secure aid. They agree and start packing their bags again. During the night, Vlad wakes up Kara to witness a rather odd phenomenon. The apparition of one of her fathers is pacing the ramparts and shouting out, "Kara, where are you?" repeatedly. Unable to truly interact with whatever this is, she wakes up Saye and Arnadel with the hope that one of them knows more. Clueless, they resign to go back to bed, and while Kara passes the rest of the morning reminiscing quietly about her father on the beach.
Episode 51, The Lion and the Fox. Before the maidens travel via teleportation circle to the city of Chasiana, where the meeting of the Great Council is to be held, they finish up some business at the keep. Kara consults Valerius and Isolde on her father's mysterious appearance on the battlements, and Saye and Kara have a nice heart-to-heart. Finally, they head out. They are generously being hosted by Duke Phineas Albright, affectionately known as Captain Finn, a roguish human with a checkered past as a pirate. Before a very important and fancy dinner, the team decides on their politicking plan of who to persuade to their cause. They decide Duchess Amalthea and Duke Ravain, and of course they have Finn's vote of confidence. After getting gussied up, the team heads to Duke Rowan's home for the evening soiree. In the first round of the social encounter, Saye speaks to Amalthea, the crone mother, who agrees to give her vote if the maidens come to Caer Leona to take care of a problem for her. Arnadel finds out that Duke Rowan has been going to the chapel every night and attends to tonight as well, and Kara speaks with Duke Ravain, who tells her that he is happy to pledge his vote if the Sisters of Sorrow assist in recruiting and handling the problems of North Point. In the second round of the social encounter, Arnadel has a horrible encounter with Deirdre, Duke Ferillon's wife. Saye overhears the rumor that a sworn enemy of Ravain is preparing an assassination attempt, and Kara finds out that the Drow entourage who have met with the Sarina intend to declare their caves as an extension of the Empire of the Plains. Finally, in the last round of this social encounter, Kara successfully foils the plot to kill Ravain. Saya and Aaron find out that Duke Rowan has made a contract with the Yugoloth that he is unable to uphold, and Arnadel finds out that Amalthea, as of late, has been ill, which does not bode well for a famed healer and cleric of the Mother.
Episode 52, Dead or Alive. Our heroes make it back from a night of courtly intrigue and decide which of the royal votes they are going to pursue. But before they can get that good REM sleep, bam, they are attacked by a mech spider known as a retriever, sent by the drow to kidnap Kara. Now, obviously, they totally won the fight, but now they have to figure out what the next step is.
Episode 53, The Merchant of Menace. After such a brazen attack from the drow, Valerius gives Kara a special magical item, the Circlet of Human Perfection. After donning it, Kara transforms into a handsome male of average height. With the drow clearly interested in Kara, it was suggested that Kara not appear as herself in public. With Kara undercover, the team heads out to the city of Chasiana in pursuit of the Duke's demon. The demon attends a monthly book club run by an individual known as the Collector. The last book club meeting was said to occur at the 1001 Nights Inn. The inn is run by an Ifriti, Rashad, and his Fire Genasi daughter, Sadia. Rashad relays that the standard fee for meeting with the Collector is 2,000 gold pieces. Fortunately, Rem makes a cameo and pays the fee for the maidens to meet the Collector. Rashad leads the maidens to the basement that contains a lamp upon a pedestal. After touching the lamp, they are transported to a blank white space whose only feature is an iron door. None other than Bartleby is the Collector. Bartleby informs them that in order to permanently kill the Yugoloth, they must discover the demon's true name. Bartleby agrees to tell the maidens the location of the Yugoloth if they agree to bring him the Yugoloth's Book of Contracts. The maidens agree so long as Rowan, Rashad, and Sadia are released from their contracts. Now, armed with the knowledge of how to enter the lair of the Yugoloth, they find themselves standing in the cellar room of the 1001 Nights Inn.
Episode 54, Cat's Cradle. Armed with knowledge of how to locate Rowan's pesky Yugoloth and the keyword butterscotch in their minds, the maidens make their way to the shipyard of Chasiana. They successfully locate the correct warehouse and break in only to be confronted by a talking teal and magenta cat with a large purple gem in its forehead. They give it the password butterscotch and are granted entrance to the Yugoloth's lair. Behind the magic portal, they find a bathhouse of all things, managed by a drake named Harmonia and her two kobold servants, Mordekainen and Bigby. Around her neck is a chain from which a silver key dangles. The gang enjoys a soothing soak in the luxuriously scented pools before bargaining with Harmonia for her key. They next endure a game of chance with a mysterious figure bearing the sigil of Alitamara. After winning, they are allowed to pass on to the next room, a beautiful open greenhouse occupied by a flock of axe beaks. They chase down the bird that wears the next silver key and open the final door to comfortable living quarters marred by the scent of death. They discover the source of the horrid stench, the remnants of a rotted Arcanoloth, a special Yugoloth known for its hunger for knowledge and power. Butterscotch, their magenta cat companion, reveals that she had slain the Arcanoloth and learned its true name, so now she keeps it as a pet. She agrees to hand over the Arcanoloth's Book of Contracts in exchange for the Sisters of Sarah granting her protection. After some negotiation, they agree to take Butterscotch with them and deliver the contracts to Bartleby.
Episode 55, 13 Vandals. Having released Rashad from Bartleby's contract, the maidens partied hardied at the 1001 Nights Inn before stumbling back on the road. It wasn't long before they were attacked by some cultists led by a real ugly bird person. They fought, causing the vulture band to teleport away, and then Arnadel got conference called by the Raven Queen and the Sisters of Sorrow. They told her that she had to leave the rest of the maidens for now and hunt down these 13 Nagpa before they could cause any more damage. So, our warlock friend said farewell, and our remaining maidens are left to assist Duchess Amalthea on their own.
Episode 56, Castaway. Without the aid of Arnadel, Kara, posing as Carl, and Sawyer head to Caerleona to assist the Duchess Amalthea with her mysterious request. When they get there, they meet Feyre Valen, a tiefling sorcerer who definitely has the hots for Carl. Amalthea tells them that she needs the maidens, along with Feyre, to bring down an insane angel that has lost itself somewhere in the sealed catacombs beneath the castle. She tells of how she has entangled her very life force with the being, and thus their madness is sapping Amalthea's strength. With steely resolve, they head down into the depths and find themselves in some crazy lobby with the ghost secretary and an appointment book. They bypass her only to find themselves in a hallway full of cells and creepy things inside.
Episode 57, On Hysteria. Our heroes push deeper into the castle catacombs, uncovering more about the creepy lab dungeon. Sawyer is mysteriously eaten by a wall, while Kara and Feyre almost lose their mind several times after fending off brains in jars, animated straitjackets, and the manifestations of their own fears. Last of all, they walk headfirst into Dr. Scarborough's medical theater, in which an insane surgery is taking place.
Episode 58, Code Blue. Beginning in Dr. Scarborough's lecture hall full of ghouls and grisly instruments, they face the wrath of the demented surgeon. After a harrowing fight with some nasty syringe attacks, the maidens, broken and bruised, manage to subdue the doctor and bring his unconscious body to Saya's mysterious new friend, a giant brain in a pool of nasty slime.
Episode 59, Mind Games. Sawyer's unusual friend turns out to be a captured elder brain, who is eager to have the maidens hand over the unconscious ghoul doctor for some highly anticipated revenge. Kara makes some poor choices, but Sawyer pulls her from the brain pool in the nick of time. Sensing a losing battle, the maidens flee the chamber and head deeper into the dungeon. They suffer a fitful sleep plagued by ghosts before pushing further into the asylum. They unearth some mysterious treasures in the late doctor's office, wind through an undead cafeteria, and ultimately locate their angelic quarry in a spooky children's ward. The angel named Adriel confesses their distress, but, before long, decides they are no longer interested in talking and pulls out a big flaming sword.
Episode 60, Coup de Grâce. Never flinching from a fight, they take on Adriel, a self-proclaimed angel of destruction. In the middle of the fight, Kara loses her last point of sanity because of some creepy ghost children, and she has an out-of-body experience in which she confronts the angel by their past transgressions. Meanwhile, Sawyer kicks serious ass, Feyre keeps everyone alive, and they emerge victorious. Feyre gets whisked away to her first vision of the Sisters of Sorrow, and awakens with their emblem on her hand, officially confirming she is now part of the team.
Episode 61, Ante Up. Our heroes emerge victoriously from the catacombs beneath Duchess Amalthea's home and share with her their harrowing tale. With the vote secured, they meet back up with the rest of the Sisters of Sorrow agents. After a well-deserved night of card games and drunken revelry, the whole gang sets off to the week-long tournament of the Grand Council. Two drow representatives, Baltana and Nalfian, come to give Kara a message from Arafel, the matron mother who is after Kara. The maidens aren't having any of that shit and sling insults back at them. But something more interesting captures Saye's attention. It is none other than Rana. He beckons Saye over to share some intel that he and Rem have gathered.
Episode 62, Naughty Business. Welp, some real bad news from Rana. He and Rem have been secretly working together to observe some shady as hell business brought to you by an army of drow at North Point. There was a lot of he said, she said, they said as the maidens talked to every single NPC about what to do about the situation. After some tough deliberation, they eventually decide to sit tight through the grand joust until Duke Ravain can rally some soldiers to help them fight the threat. Valerius, as curious as the maidens, takes Sawyer on an astral walk to see this drow situation. A mine containing something powerful and dark is revealed to them.
Episode 63, Connect 4. Praise the sisters! Our heroes were reunited! Arnadel and Aaron fall to the earth from an astral space pirate boat and rendezvous with the rest of the maidens, who are getting day drunk as hell while watching the grand joust. Everything is great until a weird green knight shows up and totally murders a guy on the field. Now, Kristoff is up next to battle this scary magic dude.
Episode 64, A Maiden's Tale. Saye, Arnadel, Farah, and Kara can't help but intervene as the Green Knight breaks the rules of the joust and attacks Kristoff. They totally kick his ass, in the process discovering that he was wearing some kind of magic amulet crafted by Duchess Jelenith. The Tsarina thanks them for their bravery and gifts the party a magic pair of fairy wings. Ravain finds them and tells them to pack their bags for the next teleport flight to North Point.
Episode 65, Due North. Our heroes, along with Ravain, teleport to the remote fortress of North Point. Duke Ravain introduces them to his second-in-command, a badass Eladrin wizard named Sathras. After a brief encounter with the mercenary bard band known as the Checkered Follies, they set off in search of the drow mining operations. Saye, in full fairy flight, stumbles upon an underground entrance. As they begin creeping towards the entrance of this cave, they discover a horrid, ooze-like lady zombie drow.
Episode 66, A Buried Blade. Breezing through combat with the big bad drow demon known as a Yakul, they continue down into the spookily empty mine site. They follow a dark stairway dug under a magic pillar to a room filled with stacks of slain Durgar and drow around a set of doors with a ton of broken warding seals. They bravely press onward, open some boss doors, and got a bunch of arrow shot at them. Fortunately, Sothras is able to alert them to danger, saving them from a surprise attack. Saye teleports into the room first, followed quickly by the rest of the crew. Battle ensues, and the maidens, with the aid of Sothras, quickly handle the threats. Although, in the midst of battle, Kar becomes distracted by a strange arcane light. She passes through a magical barrier into a room with an ominous floating red light of pure energy and a suit of armor. Apparently performing some kind of ritual, Baltana offers Kara the opportunity to team up against Arafel. Kara laughs down her offer, but is interrupted by Baltana's swift and silent death. None other than Rem appears from the shadows, having dispatched Baltana. Rem offers Kara the opportunity to rescue her parent soul from purgatory in exchange for utilizing the arcane orb of energy to enter her consciousness into the suit of armor. Kara agrees reluctantly. Suddenly, as the rest of the crew is able to burst through the arcane barrier, they see a grisly sight. Rem, and Kara, who bears a dagger in her forehead.
Episode 67. Rest in Peace. Kara collapses dead on the ground. Her eyes open to a strange scene. She is on a small boat atop a river that lays against a gray, dismal shore. A skeletal, robed figure slowly paddles the boat along, and she is accompanied by an also-pale dwarf with coal-black hair. She acquaints herself with the fact that she is on the River Styx and that she is gone. The ferryman pulls the boat to the shore and Kara disembarks. She follows a dark, winding cave to a room with two iron doors side by side. She enters the right door first to find a profane church and a body wrapped in spider silk dangling from the ceiling. She knocks it free with a candelabra and tears the silk to find her father, Ferelin. The two enjoy a tearful reunion, and they head through the left door and discover a haunted replica of the city she grew up in under the mountain. There, they find Kara's other father, Morgan. She finally discovers why she had always seen visions of him calling out for her. Morgan was locked in an eternal battle, fighting drow that don't exist. She shakes him out of it, and the three embrace, happy to be finally reunited. In order to escape from this deranged purgatory, they guess that they must need to interrupt the ritual that was left incomplete so many years ago. They head down the tunnels to the heart of the Drow City, where they discover something wholly unexpected, the Matron Mother Arafel. She calls upon Lulth to empower her in her mission to finally complete the ritual that she began so many years ago. The Dwarven God Borodin intercedes on behalf of Kara and her parents. The four engage in an epic battle, with Kara delivering the final righteous blow. Moradin collects the tired souls of Morgan and Ferelin and finally brings them to Valhalla.
And that's a wrap! That's everything that happened in Arc 3, Bonds of Blood. Can't wait to find out what happens in Arc 4, but until then, venture away.